Todd
Tennessee
Furman
can't do it. Yeah, no.
Todd Furman's our guy in Vegas and takes a weekly look at point spreads. And Todd, what about Gruden to Tennessee? What kind of odds you laying on that?
You know what, guys? I actually spoke to some of the guys offshore. I'm pushing hard for the people at Bovada to put up some odds for you. So hopefully we'll have those in print, and I'll kick the coverage either late this week or early next week if they hang numbers.
That would be awesome.
I'm going to make some money. The guys at Bovada had a big error.
Wait. Uh-oh. I'm going to make some money.
Uh-oh, Clay's already counting his money.
Don't do that.
I think there's a chance I could have some insider trading there. But here's the deal. The guys at Bovada had...
I don't think that's ever been admitted to, like, on live radio.
It's not illegal to gamble on insider information, is it, Todd?
Nope, there is no governing body that comes to that. So if you have that kind of information, you may get run out of sports books and beaten up in back alleys, but there's nothing illegal about it.
A lot of people would like to see that.
Small price to pay. I mean, they had, Bovada did, a 3-2 payout, which is, your money plus another half, on whether or not Gene Chizik was going to get fired this year. It was
before the season?
No, last week. It was unbelievable. They're idiots.
They had some real interesting numbers. The only thing I would say on some of these props is you have to kind of read the fine print, because if Gene Chizik were to resign, technically he's not getting fired there. So that's kind of the gray area that you walk into. Whereas out here, if you're betting in Las Vegas, everything is clearly stipulated in black and white, so we can't operate. He resigned. He wasn't fired. Therefore, we're not paying that
bet. I would file a lawsuit over that, because he's not going to resign, because under his contract, which I've read online, he has to be fired in order to be paid. So if he's getting paid his buyout, like, this is a fun thing. If Dooley resigned, he would owe Tennessee like $400,000.
I'm sure Dooley's not resigning.
Are going to get fired. So they may call it a resignation in the press release, but it's always a firing.
Well,
trust me.
You can give him that chance in about an hour when he's on our show.
That's right.
All right, Tennessee at Vanderbilt. Todd, what do you think? And Vandy opened, I think, around 2 up to 4, and the over-under 60, which is an interesting number.
Yeah, this number has kind of climbed a little bit, but you make a great point, Brent. When you look at Tennessee and Vanderbilt, obviously we know the Commodores don't want to turn this into a track meet and try and get into a firefight with Tennessee. It's actually the first time in recent memory that Vandy's been favored in back-to-back years. Tennessee, you have to imagine, is just kind of playing out this stretch, but we thought the same thing last year when they came up and bit Vandy. I think the number's actually a little inflated as the public has gotten behind it, pushing it close to 4.5. That being said, I'm not in a hurry to back Tennessee in what amounts to, well, we'll call it a must-win, but I'm not sure I'd even go that far.
Todd Furman, our guy in Vegas, at Todd Furman on Twitter.
Todd, what's the situation here with the line, I think, that a lot of people are paying attention to? A couple games. One, I was kind of surprised. Kansas State, I think, only around a 10-point favorite against Baylor. I'm not sure what the line is exactly doing. But the other game that I think people are going to be paying a lot of attention to, Oregon-Stanford, 3-touchdown line. Big line for Oregon. I mean, for a Stanford
Stanford's
team.
Stanford's ranked 13th.
Yeah, 13th in the country.
Yeah, this Kansas State number, Clay, is actually ballooned out to 13 now. I anticipate it getting as high as 14 before there's some buyback out there. You look at Baylor, they're not going to be able to stop Kansas State. Their only shot in that game is going to be to try and score and keep up that way. The Stanford game, I know the number looks to be a little high when you talk about a team ranked number 2 in the BCS versus number 13, but the reality of it is Stanford doesn't have the firepower offensively if this game gets away from them. You look at their rush defense, they're giving up less than 60 yards a game, 2 yards a carry, but they haven't seen an offense nearly this dynamic. And the one guy that's not getting enough credit for what Oregon is doing is Marcus Mariota, number 1 in the country in pass efficiency. I mean, this guy just flat out gets it done. 28 touchdowns, 5 picks, and he's doing it with a 72% completion percentage so far this year.
How much exposure do you think the sports books have out there to Kansas State winning the national title? Because I know that Notre Dame was not that crazy of a favorite, just because stupid Notre Dame fans go out there and put money on their favorite team.
Why'd they gotta be stupid Notre Dame fans?
Because it wasn't a good bet coming into the season, because the lines weren't that. I mean, Todd will probably agree with me. It's dumb money comes in and bets on their favorite team, even if they're not considered a favorite. So you're not getting very good odds. Whereas Kansas State was actually a pretty big underdog. Do the books have very much exposure to Kansas State winning the BCS title? And I'm sure on top of that, that is the team the books are rooting against the most winning the title.
I've spoken to a number of books, and surprisingly, there's not nearly that much exposure on Kansas State. I know the prices were available at 100, even 150-1 offshore before the year. The irony on this team, I actually opened them at 30-1 while I was still at Caesars. I couldn't get a bet to save my life on Kansas State. Had to push them all the way up to 90-1 before the money started coming in. fan. But you make a great point on Notre Dame. You're never going to get true odds on the Fighting Irish because of such a public team and a fervent fan base. So they were as high as 40-1, but that's not exactly conducive to a team who was only predicted to win 8 games.
Yeah, that's right. Because they were like the over-under on Notre Dame was 8, but they were 40-1 on the national title, which doesn't make any sense at all, logically.
No, I mean, the two numbers don't tie, and I'm not embarrassed to say that I actually am sitting on a ticket for Notre Dame not to play in a BCS bowl that I bet before the year. I actually had to put up, you know, 3-1 odds. Little to say that that's the one that my bookmaker will be cashing out of my pocket.
Yeah.
Todd Furman, our guy in Vegas on 3HL every Wednesday.
Hey, I'm slow now, Todd. Explain to me, we call it dumb money, but it seems like they were pretty smart if they put the money down. So how do we call it dumb?
I'm not sure I'd go dumb. I know Clay has.
I'm just waiting. Sounds like it's pretty smart to me.
Well, they're still not going to win the title.
I know, but I'm just...
It's an awful bet. It's just dumb.
Well, if they win it, it's a great bet.
If they're not going to win it. That's what I'm saying.
Blaine, I think the way to look at it is more as a value play than anything else. I mean, 40-1 doesn't quite offer the value. You go back 2 years, Auburn was available at about 150-1 as well in the spring, and that number continue to get bet down. But when you look at a team like Notre Dame with their schedule coming into the year, true odds on the Fighting Irish in reality should have been 75-1 to really make it worth your while. You're going to have fans that come in and bet $5 or $10 on these teams no matter what. And the example I always fall back on is Chicago Cubs. I mean, we typically used to open the Cubs at 25-1 to win the World Series, and we'd have about 3 times as many tickets on the Cubs. I mean, I could have offered them at -150, and Cub fans would have come in and bet thinking it was the world's greatest value. But in all honesty, the running joke out here, when the Cubs actually do win a World Series, if it's sometime this millennium, it'll be the best thing in the world for the sports book because nobody's going to want to cash those tickets. They'll end up passing them down from generation to generation.
Todd, what's the biggest futures bet you've ever seen? Because I read about a guy who, I mean, if somebody came in, you know, you got like 100-1 odds, let's say, on Kansas State. Have you seen somebody ever come in and try to put down like $40,000 on Kansas State or something, where the payout would be, was my math right, $4 million on that? I mean, what's the biggest number you've ever seen?
Most books will kind of limit some of their liability. I actually had a funny story last football season. I had a gentleman come in from Charlotte who wanted to bet the Carolina Panthers at 150-1 to win the Super Bowl. So you get into the dialogue with him, you figure, okay, he wants about 100, 200. He wanted to bet $50,000 on Carolina to win the Super Bowl. Now, the caveat to that story, after engaging him in conversation for another 15, 20 minutes, it was actually cheaper for him to come to town to bet Carolina at whatever future odds he could get than it was to insure a promotion he was running at his TV shop that if Carolina made the Super Bowl, everyone would win free TVs who purchased during the course of the NFL football season.
That's awesome.
Wow. Well, quickly, what's the odds that the SEC champion is in the national championship?
You know what? Earlier in the year, I spoke to some guys in town, and they made the SEC about a $3 favorite against the field to repeat as national champions. Right now, I still think that there is value in Alabama at 6-1, because if they went out and enough dominoes fall around them, say, for example, Notre Dame goes down to USC and maybe Oregon trips up in the conference championship game, I think Alabama's trajectory right now closely resembles what the Tide did last year, and I wouldn't write them off as being, you know, not only the favorite, but having a realistic shot to repeat as national champ.
Real quick, Johnny Football Mania is going on. What are the odds of him winning the Heisman?
He's all of a sudden gotten into this discussion. He was a guy you couldn't find a bet on about a month ago. Spoke to some people. They make him about a 3-2 favorite right now. But I think that's as much fool's gold as anything else. There's still a real stigma about giving that award to a freshman.
Mm-hmm.
And I think if Kansas State runs the table, it's going to be real hard to keep it out of Colin Klein's hands.
One more number that interests me before you jump out of here. Oklahoma at West Virginia. West Virginia won their first 5, lost 4 straight. Oklahoma favored by 11. But that over-under is 74.
Yeah, the total opened at 74. I mean, West Virginia's offense clearly not the same as what they were. It'd be real interesting to see how the Sooners travel to Morgantown. I keep waiting for Dana Holgerson's team to jump up and steal a win that they shouldn't have. Earlier this year, Brent, when Oklahoma was scuffling after losing to Kansas State and West Virginia was the talk of the town, the Mountaineers were a 3-point favorite in this game. So you're talking about a major adjustment here. I think if the weather's conducive, the only thing that's going to stop these teams is penalties. But as we know, Morgantown in November, we could expect snow and cold in the forecast, which would really slow this game down some.
Thank you, Todd.
Always a pleasure, guys.
Todd Furman in Vegas, at Todd Furman on Twitter.